We have in our church vocabulary a lot of words that church words, I call them, words we really don't use much in everyday conversation. I was going through one of my simple concordances, not an exhaustive concordance, just trying to pick out words that, you know, I never say this word ever in, you know, day-to-day living. Now, a lot of it, of course, is, you know, I read the King James primarily, and Strong's is King James, a lot of these words. But surprisingly, many of these words are even in modern translations. I'll just give you a few. I identified about 30 of them, and that was just a cursory look at the concordance, but I'll give you a few of them here. Like, one of the words is righteous. You know, do we ever use that word, like when we're at work, you know, around the water, you know, the water bottle, the water fountain? Or how about repent? Repentance, you know, we don't talk to our workers, you know, you need to repent of that. No, we don't use that word. Or rebuke, you know, we don't use that word. How about transgress? You know, it's another. Or tribulation. I don't think I've ever used that word outside of talking about matters affecting the church of God. Or covet, you know, we don't talk like that in our daily conversation. Well, there is one word that I would like to discuss today, and it's also one of those words that I don't think I've ever used outside of the church, and it's the word is exhort. Exhort. Different than extort. You know, that word gets used quite a bit. There's a lot of that going on. Exhort. Now, when you look up this word in Strong's, you find it's an interesting word because there's about 18 ways that it is used in the New Testament. It means a lot of different things, but it's more or less summed up as exhort. But the same word, which is found in Strong's, it's number 3870, it has a lot of different meanings and is used in a lot of different ways throughout the New Testament. What is it to exhort? And why would we need to be about exhorting as the Scriptures ask us to? And is it relevant to us in our church family, especially now as we are about to begin the Feast of Tabernacles? So I mentioned this is Strong's 3870. It has several meanings. Let's go to a familiar scripture, Hebrews 10:25. This is Hebrews 10:25. This is the scripture that Mr. Phelps, I believe he ended his sermon on this scripture. I'll begin with it. Very familiar scripture when we talk about coming to church to assemble together. Let's start in verse 24. It says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and much more as you see the day approaching." So in this context, and I'll use that, open with that scripture, because I think the first context of this particular word means encourage. It's used here in a way that denotes encouragement, that we would encourage one another as we come together, as we see the day approaching. Which day is it talking about? As we see the day approaching, well, I would say it's talking about the coming kingdom of God. But it also, in our own individual lives, as we get older, we see this day coming. And as our lives are getting near the end, we see, well, okay, Jesus Christ hasn't returned in my lifetime. I've been waiting since I came into the church in 1970, and I see now my days. I'll be 77 during the feast, and I see, yeah, you know, time's running out. Probably the kingdom isn't going to come in my lifetime. That's okay. But the moment I take my last breath, the very next thing, Jesus Christ returns. The very next moment of consciousness, Jesus Christ returns. So as you see the day coming, it becomes more important. As we get older, it becomes more and more important to encourage one another. Can you think of ways to encourage each other? You think about maybe going to the feast. Perhaps you will encounter someone, and not just at the feast, but even here, that needs encouragement, the encouragement that you can offer. Well, as Paul said, you know, don't forsake the assembly, and that means come to church, because one of the jobs you have is to encourage others, and you can't be encouraging others very well. I mean, you can do it by telephone or by cards and letters, but one of the best ways is face-to-face to encourage one another. Maybe you'll encounter someone here or at the feast that's going through, a difficult time. Perhaps somebody is having family problems and is going to the feast, and they're going to go to the feast, and there's still these family problems back home that have to be taken care of. Have you been there? Have you experienced those things? Many of us have had experiences that we can share and help and encourage one another about. What about those not going to the feast? You know, there's a lot of reasons people can't make it to the feast: health, age, various circumstances. What about encouraging them while we're at the feast? You know, there's a motto of the United States Army Rangers. I've used this before, I'll use it again. And the motto is, leave no man behind. And that ought to be our motto in thinking about each other, especially when we're not together. We'll be at different feast sites, and some will be here. We have a list, and there are some not even on the list that won't be attending. And so, you know, nothing wrong with a phone call during the feast, something very good about that. Words of encouragement or cards, postcards, let people know that we're thinking about them, even in our prayers daily, that God would encourage them and comfort them, as we'll see in a few more scriptures, that God does use that as well. The second meaning of the word exhort is used in Acts 11. Acts 11. And let's look for we'll start in verse 22. Now, what's going on here? Acts 11. I think this is the right scripture. Yes. Well, so what's going on here is the Holy Spirit has come to the Gentiles, and the word of that, verse 22, then tidings of these things, these things is talking about the word, the Spirit having been given to the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles have Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're coming into the church. And in verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with the purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. So the word exhorted here, the word means to strengthen. So these were new folks, new to the truth of God. They were Gentiles, and they were excited that the truth of God was given to them. And so those at headquarters sent Barnabas, you know, go out and strengthen the brethren. Someone who is new in the faith, or someone that perhaps is just weak in the faith, needs help. Those of us who have been in the church longer, have been more experienced at a lot of the issues that face us, can help and strengthen one another, one who is perhaps not, or who might be strong in a lot of areas, but maybe is weak in a particular area, one that maybe we have struggled with. It might be some sort of addiction. So on a particular point, one might, you know, might want to have, or might want, one might have a problem, and we can be there to strengthen them, to help them to overcome that problem. Does that make sense? I think so, even though my mouth is not, is about 2 weeks past my brain here, apparently. So we can, you know, we can certainly use exhorting in the connotation of strengthening each other. Another word that is translated from that word exhort is to comfort. And we find a good example of that in 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we read in beginning in verse 4. Well, let me pick it up in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. So that word, he comforts, you look that word comforts, that's the same Greek word, 3870. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. So God exhorts us this way. This word we translate exhort is the same word as comfort. So that is a meaning there. So in essence, this is an emotional support or a reassurance. And certainly the usage here implies somebody that is perhaps stressed by an event or events needs to be comforted. Somebody that maybe, and it doesn't have to be even our brethren, but somebody that you know personally, maybe has lost a loved one or has discovered, you know, there's a serious illness with a loved one and they're very distressed. So knowing that, we can use this this tool of comforting one another, exhorting, but in the sense of comforting one another. I have a friend who suffered a stroke about 3 years ago, and I have made a couple of phone calls to him. The phone calls last a long time. I didn't realize, I was advised, you know, this person has this problem, and would you call them? And maybe you can, you know, because I think he's really got really down. And so I did. And I've had two long phone calls with this individual. And very concerned because, you know, he's had a stroke and he's lost the use of, I think it's the left side of his body. And so it has really inhibited him in doing the things that he wants to do. Now he's not a particularly young man. He's 70 years old, but he's got grandchildren, and he wants to spend time with them, and he wants to teach them, and he's just really frustrated. So, and he's frustrated, I think, a lot about why God hasn't healed him, and because he is among the faithful. And so we have these discussions, and before I make that phone call, I ask God, Father, please help me say the right thing. I don't want to say the wrong thing, because when he goes to comforting somebody, you want to say the right thing. You don't want to, well, I hope that guy never calls again, you know. You know, so you want to really ask for guidance on this. Even before coming to church, you know, it's one of the things I think about when I come here. What will I encounter? Who will I be able to help? Who will help me if something I'm maybe not even aware of, you know? And I think about those things, and we should think about them when we come to church, when we go to the feast, and so forth. Proverbs 25. And in verse 11, very important words. Words are very important. It's just the powerful tool that we have, communication. We want to do it right. What is this proverb tell us? What does the teacher tell us? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Just invaluable. You know the price of gold now, like $3,600, $3,800 an ounce? It's crazy. Can you imagine a picture with gold, apples, and silver, you know? Just valuable, very valuable. So let's go before God and let's ask God for wisdom that when we use these all these meanings to encourage, to strengthen, and to comfort, that it will serve His will and have a positive effect on those that those not only our brethren, but you know those that we encounter in our family, or those we encounter at work, or just in life general, our neighbors. We need to practice these things so they become a part of our character. They're written in our hearts. Our desire and our need, our desire to help one another becomes, that's our nature. And that's how we want to be known by. Because that's what God is. That's what God is. And if we have His Spirit, we are going to want that same thing. Let's go back. We'll close with Hebrews 10 again. Hebrews 10 again and verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Let's remember that word. It's a Bible word, not one that we use all the time, but let's remember what it means. And you can look this up in your concordance. There's about 15 different meanings. Could probably give a sermon on this. There's about 15 different meanings, but I think I've tried to highlight the ones that I think are the most common ones used in the New Testament, that we exhort one another, that we encourage, and we comfort, and we strengthen one another. So I hope you have a happy feast, and you'll be all about exhorting at the feast.